Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Richard Sherman said something that I agree with, and not just on the topic that he brought up. He said that the NFL hasn't done much outside of appeasing public opinion to combat head injuries and the concussions we've seen, of course, back in the news with the Tom Savage video and him being allowed to play again. I think he's spot on with this, because the NFL, to me, and the changes that they make and the things that they do are driven by PR. It's always driven by PR. How does this look? How does this make us look? Will this make people angry or happy? And they never seem to get it right, and they don't stand by any convictions. So the stuff that they do when it comes to concussions, they want to make sure now that they are in a position to have people say, it's twofold actually, people say, oh, look, the NFL is helping out the players by doing this, this, and this, but they're also trying to cover their ass so there isn't another large lawsuit which would require a large sum of money to pay former players that would say, hey, you didn't give us the full information.
Well, of course, they are business-minded folks, and they want to cover their behinds. Yes, they don't want to be liable down the road like they have been for the concussion settlement that they agreed to a couple years back. So we understand that going in. This is a huge business, a billion-dollar business. Now, what else do we want them to do? To say they haven't done anything other than to follow public opinion or try to appease public opinion, what else should they do? We've got independent folks who are involved in the process of identifying guys who have been dinged, and I don't use that term lightly, but those who we may suspect have a head injury, and they jump in there, they can stop the game whenever they want, and they take the coaches out of it, the team trainers and doctors out of it. This guy can go in and say, hey, our woman, and this guy person needs to be looked at. So that's being proactive. They've taken the decision making out of the players' hands, who is going to try to fool you each and every time, I promise you that, because they have been conditioned to get back out there. So short of saying, no, you're not going back in the game, I don't care if you've passed the test we have administered here in the tent or in the locker room, you're still not going in. What else does Richard Sherman want them to do? Yes, they've thrown money at the problem. Yes, they're going to continue to find guys for certain hits. What else should they do? Give me some options here. Give me some resolutions. What do you want them to do, Richard Sherman? I think they've been proactive, and I've been slow to come to the side of the NFL on this. And the game, it's a physical game. We enjoyed the physicalness of it. I know I did. It's part of the deal. But taking the headshots out, yes, even though I'm able to distinguish between someone who is really targeting and using the crown of the helmet as a weapon, spearing guys, I understand why they don't want any hits to that area. I get that. So short of just saying you're not going in no matter if you pass the test or not, you can't go back into this particular ball game, what other solutions do they want?
Well, they used to have a relationship with Boston University, which was the foremost leader in concussion research and used to donate money to them. And they decided that when a new doctor was in charge of it, who had been critical of the NFL, that they wouldn't be partners with them any longer. They've got doctors that still push their agenda out there about concussions, and they still dip their toes in the it's not that bad for you water. So I think that's a big part of it. Now, I agree that there are things that they do that you would say it's a start, it's better than it was, but I think what Richard Sherman is saying is, I mean, is that stuff really working, or what are their motives? Now, you could counter that with, doesn't matter what their motives are as long as things are getting better. That's a fine counterargument to it. But I think what he's basically saying is that what the NFL does, they don't really care about the players. And that's what it comes back to, consistently comes back to. They don't care about the players. The decisions they make are based from two things. They're fueled by two different things. It's to make people feel better about it, and it's to cover their ass in lawsuits. And if you want to tell me that they're doing this because they actually care about the players, you're full of it. That's more of his point.
Okay, well, I may be more apt to agree with him there because you're just pawns in this whole scheme, and you get paid well, a lot of you do, and there are not enough guaranteed contracts for my liking because the game is so violent and it's so physical. So I'm with you. I don't think they really genuinely care. You roll guys in, you roll them out. Now, the superstars, they'll be part of your organizations forever. You know, those cats that have helped you amass championships, have really played in such a manner that has shown a great light on your organization, you're going to take care of them forever. They're about 0.001% of the guys can leverage their time with that organization for the rest of their lives. And kudos to them for being able to do so. The rest of us, we just roll in and we roll out. That's it. And so he may be correct there, but you understand that going in. That's why you see guys fighting to get as much money as possible.
But that's a different argument, you know, and I agree. And I think that most players now do, and they make the choice. But I don't want to put words in Richard Sherman's mouth when it comes to this. I think basically what he's saying is...
You're saying they're heartless.
Well, yeah. And I said
I'm more apt to agree with you. Yeah, they are. And they understand you churn them in, you churn them out. It's a meat grinder. Okay, mm-hmm. I get that. And you have guys, you stack your preseason rosters with guys, and you know they're just bodies out there. They won't have a damn chance of making your football team. And that's part of the deal. And is there something untoward about that? Yeah, but that's the nature of this beast. So, there are going to be a lot of heartless folks, and the whole move the drill mentality, that exists still.
Yeah, and I don't know the extent of the relationship between the NFL and the Players Association when it comes to this particular topic. Of course, they're on opposite sides of just about everything, but I don't know if they talk about this a lot. I don't know if there's someone in Roger Goodell's stable that has been appointed to do more research on this or work with the players, or, you know, when a guy gets concussed, he flies to that particular place and says, all right, how are you feeling? You know, I don't know if they feel any need to be responsible for that, or that would help in the relationship between the two places. And I don't know what the Players Association is doing. I mean, that's something that I have to learn more about. The bigger issue here, though, I think, is it's just this sentiment that Richard Sherman, I think, who is the most outspoken person on these issues, but I think there's a lot of NFL players that feel the same way, which is that we are not going to get pushed around any longer, and we've talked about this plenty, and it will happen. I don't know for how long it'll happen, and I don't know if they will cave like they did last time very quickly, but there will be a work stoppage. There is no doubt about it, because these guys are just pissed off as hell.
Well, they understand that if they're going to attain more leverage, they're going to have to agree on a work stoppage, and I get that, and you know, furthermore, to Richard Sherman's point, if they care about our safety, why the hell are we playing on these short weeks? You know, it's one thing to do it during the holiday season, which has been a tradition, but it's another thing to do it throughout the football season. Why do we have Thursday night ball games? You know why? Because this is a business. And yeah, we say we care about you, but we don't, and we understand it's a huge chore to get your body back in good fighting shape after a Sunday contest and turn around and play 3 to 4 days later. So that right there is a contradiction to the whole player safety deal.
Yeah, and I think that what the Players Association, the players need to understand too, is the harsh reality that no one else is going to defend you or stick up for you but you. Now, there could be guys like us that will take their side from time to time. That doesn't really matter. But fans are not going to care. Owners are not going to care. Coaches, for the most part, might care about you personally. But really, you know, they're trying to save their own butt and win as many games as possible. And if you're not there to help them out, then okay, fine. You know, I'll give you a call to see if you're right, but I don't really care. So the only people that truly care about your well-being,
you and your
loved ones.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. And, you know, there are certain coaches that care, but you understand, just like the conversation we've been having. How do you go back out there and play after watching one of your teammates suffer such a debilitating injury, a potentially debilitating injury? Well, you're conditioned to go back out there. And these coaches that are hands-on with you, your position coaches, they care about you to a certain extent, and then they know there's going to be another one to replace you. That's just how it works.
The reason this discussion is back in the news is because of Tom Savage and the mini seizure he had on the field. And then he went through concussion protocol and then got back out on the field. This is Bill O'Brien, Texans head coach, talking about the handling of that particular incident.
With benefit of the video, which I do not have benefit of any video, there's no video on the sideline. All there are tablets. There's no video. There's nothing like that. With benefit of seeing the video, obviously, from my standpoint, the care for the player, I would have never let that player back in the game, and I don't believe that Jeff Kaplan would have allowed that player back in the game. I don't have benefit of the video. I did not see anything.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said yesterday, that they probably didn't see that, and they're not looking, and we had slow motion and zoomed in. You know, and that's why I thought that even though it's not his responsibility, that official that was standing right over Tom Savage could have gone to the team doctor or Bill O'Brien or someone on that staff and said, listen, this is what I saw, just so you know.
Right.
And you can be willing to take my word for it or whatever, but I have to give you this information. This is what I saw. So, and it's not in his job description to do that. But if everybody was chipping in to make sure that everybody was as healthy as possible, mm-hmm. that's something that you would expect to happen.
And you've seen officials from time to time force a player to stay on the ground because they know they're seriously injured. So it's not going to be a huge departure from what we have witnessed previously from game officials. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a referee. It could be the line judge or whomever. You know, if they're in the vicinity of where this injury has taken place, and if it's serious enough, they can put a hand on the shoulder or force a player to stay put until medical attention arrives.
Yeah. So we will see if any improvements are made or anything else is done because of this. But it is very, very, very difficult to be able to assess these things properly, no matter how many checks and balances that you have in place. It's still going to be difficult. And I wish more people would stop screaming at perceived incompetence and look rather for a better solution.
Right. They can't wait to pounce. And they see something they think is egregious and they feel like they have all the answers. And just because you saw it, it doesn't mean the others had the same vantage point that you did.
This internet today.
What happened? Smack it.
Disaster.
Just won't work?
And I hate to bring it up on the air, but now I'm losing my patience.
Yeah, you've been dealing with that for the last hour and 13 minutes.
Well, how come you're not dealing with it?
Because I have a Surface. That's right.
Well, I saw an engineer going there.
Did you talk to Martin?
He's not here today.
Who's here today?
Steve.
Oh, my man.
They know. They've known hours before we even got here.
Still
they
can't resolution, figure it
out. But we got some cookies.
No. 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 Is that what he handed you? Was a cookie?
He said we can't fix it, but we have cookies.
That's not true.
What type of cookie?
I thought he handed you like one of those little wireless internet card things. You know those things that you, like when we go, well, we haven't done this a lot, but when I've gone on remote before, they'll bring, if there's no Wi-Fi there, mm-hmm. they'll bring like a little 4G card of Verizon thing, whatever.
Yeah.
It was a cookie hand?
Mrs. Fields.
There you go.
Come on. He's trying to pacify him. Don't think about the internet. Think about this cookie.
Why are you getting the cookies?
Right.
Why I should get a damn cookie?
Take the cookie. I don't even want the cookie.
Is your internet not working in there either?
It goes in and out.
Every time I try to find a story to make sure that I'm reading the proper thing, like I want to read a portion of this statement from Troy Vincent on abusing officials, I couldn't get to it.
Why didn't you ask me, man? I got you, dog.
I got to have you Google it.
What's
and the next
wrong
thing
with
you
me
know,
Googling?
You'll be off in outer space looking at something else. And
CBS Sports Radio.
Czechoslovakian tennis player.
Well, that's not my fault.
Yeah,
I'm
it is.
Like Josh McCown.
Man.
Going one place and something else pops up.
Are you making that up or is that true? That he, to make you feel better about the internet being down, he gave you a cookie?
Three cookies. Exactly. One pack.
Here's a cookie.
But they weren't separate things, not like, oh, by the way, I've got cookies. It was, hey, to make you feel better because the internet sucks, here's a cookie.
It's like, sorry, kids, we can't go to Disney World, but here's a DVD of The Little Mermaid.
That is unbelievable.
So we roll, man. Come on, give him a cookie. It'll be fine. You'll forget
CBS
about
CBS Sports Radio.
I mean, think about trying to explain that. Like someone, I would assume there'd be a supervisor or somebody that comes along at some point and asks, you know, what happened? How can we ensure this doesn't happen again? Well, what was your process? Well, I checked the connection. I rebooted our internet system. It was still acting poorly. I made a phone call to whomever is in charge of our internet. They told me to try a couple things. I did that. And since none of it was working, I got a couple of cookies and I handed it to the employees to make them feel better about their situation.
Yeah, check. Here we go. In recent weeks, the NFL Referees Association voiced increasing concerns about official safety in response to a series of on-field incidents. The league has taken notice, and I believe this is the quote from Mr. Vincent, Troy Vincent, former player from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep our players on the field. No one wants a penalty or an ejection to determine the outcome of the game. In recent weeks, however, there have been several suspensions and ejections because of contact with and conduct toward our game officials. This is not who we are as players, as clubs, as the NFL, Vincent wrote.
Hmm.
So, Sean Payton comes to mind. He came off the field and had some things saying. He's upset about a number of things now with game officials.
Yeah, some guys from the bounty scandal.
A guy who was a defensive assistant.
Who apparently lied, and now he's hired by the NFL office.
He was the main, witness in the whole bounty gate situation. He's been out of the NFL. Now the NFL has hired him as part of their football operations team. And so the Referees Association took issue with New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton charging on the field during a week 14 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. And previously Oakland Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch made contact with an official and was suspended after the fact. So if the NFL is already handling these incidents, why are you screaming about it?
Why would anyone want to be a referee, an umpire, or an NFL official? Think about this. I'm just having like this epiphany now. Why would anybody want to strive to be that? Because you're under pressure, for one, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes you. Nobody. Now, I'm not saying that you take a job to be well-liked, but there isn't a single person out there that likes you. The teams don't like you. The fans don't like you. The players don't like you. You are one of the most hated people in sports. And on top of that, they dress you like a jerk. You look like a putz, no matter who you are.
Come on, man.
You're dressed in stripes.
Listen.
Horrible uniforms. You look like a total douche on wheels. And you don't get paid all that much to do it.
They look good now. All of them are jacked up now, man.
I'm not talking about their bodies. I'm talking about their uniforms.
But they make the uniform look better. And listen, they're not all loathe. You like some of the officials. Some of them are cool. You have a relationship. You play enough games. You get to know some of these guys. They're not hated.
All right, so some players like some officials.
They're not hated.
For the most part, these people are very highly disliked. I mean, you just read a statement from the NFL about how players have been mistreating officials so much.
Two incidents. Two.
Okay.
Two.
Two more than they'd like.
Two. They're not disliked as much as you might imagine.
They definitely
They are not. I never sat there and had a comment. I can't stand them, ref. Never. Okay. It's not like Laz Diaz or what's with the umpire? What's the Angel Hernandez? Nothing like that.
But there are officials in the NFL, people like Jerome Boger. Like, nobody loves anything in life more than Jerome Boger likes holding. That's it. Like, he loves holding. Calls it 50 times a game.
I wish he had been an official when I was playing.
Yeah, well.
They didn't call it enough.
Nobody likes that guy.
The offensive linemen don't.
The fans particularly don't.
You don't.
No, I mean, I don't really care. I'm just talking about it's just everywhere you go in that stadium, people are screaming at you. That last game I went to, it was a Jerome Boger game. It was Vikings-Bears on Monday night. Everybody was screaming at Boger. Boger, you suck. Boger, how you live with yourself. Screaming at him. Who wants that? For what?
They throw beer at him, too?
What does he get paid? Honestly, enough to get that abuse?
They get six figures. They get paid well.
To take that abuse?
Yep.
All right.
That's why you have that job. Pays well, you're in the game, and you have an adrenaline rush.
Would you be an NFL referee, Mike?
No, I would crumble.
Pete, you're looking for something else to do.
No.
Guys.
I'd do it.
They can't stand being here, and they wouldn't take that job over what they're doing.
Maybe the replay center.
Yeah, right. You're anonymous, sort of, right?
I think it was complete. I don't think it was complete. Just make a decision, Mike.
Fine, Brian, you're ejected.
That's pretty funny. Mike in the replay.
Yeah, some good conversations with those refs.
I really don't know. I mean,
it's good stuff.
I don't know. Let me ask Bogish.
Just make a decision.
All right. Coming up next, a talk radio call for the ages. You do not want to miss this audio. Someone sent it to me yesterday. I can't stop laughing at it. You're going to hear it next.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
There's this audio that we have to play.
Okay.
That someone sent to me that is just incredible stuff. So Andrew Bogish has a sports update, and then we'll get to that. Bogish.
Guys, between the Lightning and the Dolphins, they like to get loud on radio broadcasts in Florida.
Second and goal from the four. Cutler. Back to throw again. Looking. Fire.
Wide open.
Touchdown. Jarvis Landry, his second of the night.
Nobody around him, Jimmy. Wide open. 2 yards deep in the end zone. His second touchdown. Wow.
Jimmy Cephalo and Joe Rose and a dude riding the crowd mic on Dolphins radio. Second touchdown catch for Jarvis Landry. Third touchdown throw from Jay Cutler. While the Dolphin defense held the Patriots to 248 yards. And zero third down conversions.
How
Miami,
about that?
A 27-20 win, preventing New England from clinching the AFC East. Tom Brady's team now a game behind the Steelers as they meet Sunday in Pittsburgh.
It's a short week, and we have a lot to catch up on. I mean, we can't go up there and play as poorly as we did tonight. I think we got to do a lot of things better. And I certainly have to do a lot of things better. And that's where my focus is going to be this week.
Brady picked off twice, sacked twice, hit five other times as the Patriots' eight-game winning streak ended. Michael Bennett, Quentin Jefferson, no other Seahawk expected to be suspended for Sunday's incidents in Jacksonville. But the league continues to review what happened, so fines are still possible. Eagles QB Carson Wentz did tear his left ACL Sunday at the Rams. He is done for the season. As is Jets QB Josh McCown, ending one of the greatest love stories in the NFL this season.
Me and Josh have a great relationship.
I will remember you.
This is just...
I have respect for him as a player and a man.
Will you remember me?
We'll move on from there, but we'll forever be connected.
Forever be connected.
Wow.
Forever. Like a Todd Ball, a dying 95-year-old Todd Ball.
If anybody reached Josh yet? Somebody get Josh in before I pass away. I need to say goodbye.
But Dad, your whole family's here.
I know. But there's one thing missing before I go.
Keep your ears open, okay? Hold on for just a little longer. He's on the way. His flight got diverted.
Daddy, he just played a game for the Jaguars yesterday.
I know, it's amazing. The longevity of that man.
Are you interested in sports?
Poor Todd Bowles Jr. wants one last conversation with his dad, and his dad's calling him Josh, and he's just gonna take it.
You gotta let it go, Dad. It's been 40 years.
You were 5-8.
You weren't there, man. You don't know.
What do you do?
All of this because Josh broke his left hand in Denver on Sunday. Bryce Petty will start moving forward for Gangrene. The Oklahoma City Thunder had won 4 of 5, starting to feel good about themselves. And then the Hornets came to town last night.
On the wing, Kaminsky for 3. Good! The Hornets hit their 10th three-pointer, and Oklahoma City wants a timeout.
Steve Martin, Hornets Radio. Charlotte scoring 40 points in the third quarter, 64 in the second half to win in OKC 116-103. Their first road win since October 30th. Carmelo Anthony did not stick around to speak with reporters after the game. The Warriors down the Blazers 111-104. The Raptors' six-game winning streak ending at the Clippers 96-91. The Bulls beat up the Celtics 108-85. And the Rockets won their 10th straight 130-123 over the Pelicans. 26 points and a career-high tying 17 assists for James Harden. Villanova takes over the top spot in the AP college basketball poll after Duke lost at BC over the weekend. Michigan State got 19 first-place votes as well. They move from third to second. Wichita State is now number 3. SMU has hired Sonny Dykes as its new football coach, replacing Chad Morris. who took the Arkansas job. Sonny will coach the Mustangs in the Frisco Bowl next week. And on ice, the Avalanche down the Penguins 2-1. The Islanders cooled off the Caps 3-1. Anaheim top Carolina 3-2. Friends?
All right, thanks, Bogus. So when I was in Pittsburgh, I worked for KDK FM, which was Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Those call letters might sound familiar to those who pay attention, because KDK AM was the first ever commercial radio station. It still exists.
Started it all.
It's a news talk station. So it's an amazing, the history of it is remarkable. Mm-hmm. And what it is now is it's a political talk station, and they use some of their airtime for paid programming, and some magic comes out of this station now from the listeners and the callers and the hosts. So from time to time, I'll get emails that say, did you hear what happened on the AM today? So yesterday was one of those days. Someone sent me audio of a caller to a show, a guy whose name actually, ironically, is Chris Moore, not our Chris Moore at CBS Sports Radio, but another Chris Moore, who's taking calls on issues, right? So this guy calls up, and he's got his own issue. Take a listen.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Real fine. And you?
Very well, thank you. Listen, I just wanted to tell you, I'm a minority, and I take exception to what you said about minorities being unjustly impugned.
Well, what exception do you take?
I'm unjustly impugned.
How?
What do you mean, how? Please, Chris, come on now.
You're the one who called here and said you were a minority and you're being unjustly impugned. I just ask you how. It's a pretty easy question to answer.
Okay, fair enough. In the first place, we account for a large percentage of the crime in the United States. And I'm tired of people saying that the problem is the way we were put in a minority class with poor. That's not right.
Well, what minority are you part of?
I'm a midget.
I thought that was an incorrect term. I thought you'd say little people.
Well, that is the correct term, little people, but I'm a midget.
Okay. So, and you've been unfairly impugned? People think because you're a midget, you commit crime?
I'm justly impugned all the time, and I'm just sick about it.
What, they think you commit crime because you're a midget?
Yeah.
I've never heard this before. Well, I'm sorry people do that to you.
I am too. I'm very sad about it. I feel some kind of way about it, Chris.
Well, then you know you should get all the midgets or little people, whatever you want to call them correctly, together, and you should start marching and protesting. And to tell you the truth, if you can show evidence that you are unfairly discriminated with, and you'd let me, I'd march with you.
Here you have it.
Is that not the single most precious piece of audio that we've been blessed with here in 2017?
What minority are you? I'm a midget.
There's so many hidden gems in this.
Yeah.
Where he goes, I thought that was the incorrect term. That, by the way, that Chris Moore could not have handled that any better. I thought that was the improper term. That's right. It is little people, but I'm a midget.
You make no mistake.
All you midgets need to band together and march.
People think that you commit crime because you're a midget? Yes. Well, I never heard that before.
You see that midget over there? Watch him. You know how they are.
I thought that was an incorrect term. I thought you'd say little people.
Well, that is the correct term, little people, but I'm a midget.
I feel sick about it.
Right, I feel some kind of way about it, Chris.
Because I'm a minority.
What minority are you? Remarkable. I mean, I would love to talk to that Chris Moore about that phone call. I mean, it is difficult. It is unbelievably difficult to keep your composure in that situation and say the things that he said during that phone call.
I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
He's better
you
man
guys
than
should
me.
March.
I've never heard this before. Well, I'm sorry people do
never,
that
I've never heard this before.
We get profiled all the time, let me tell you.
He also goes, I'm sorry they're doing that to you.
Maybe if you were taller, you get the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, because I'm a gnome.
Coming up next.
That's good.
The Ball brothers go from sunny California to beautiful Lithuania. We're coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Our buddy Phil Savage is going to join us at 8:25 Eastern time. He's got the Senior Bowl coming up. He works as the Alabama Crimson Tide color analyst for the football broadcast, so he'll talk to us about that. And he's one of the many guys who was a smart guy, went to the Browns, and got fired. So we'll talk to him about that as well. He's a perfect guest for us. He really is. All right, so the Ball brothers, who are not named Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo Ball, are now going to play in Lithuania.
Yeah.
For Prienų Vytautas. Mikey B, is that correct?
Vytautas.
It's Vytautas?
No. Vytautas?
No, you got it. That's
Vytautas.
Fine.
I don't know if I got it. Prienų Vytautas. And the coach of that team is named Virginia Juice.
Well, who?
Sexos.
What?
Which is very ironic. I'm not kidding.
That is not his name.
Look. Look at your own rundown. Mm-hmm. Virginia Juice Sexos. Which is confusing to me.
I've never heard this before.
So apparently...
Wow.
Apparently Sexos...
Yeah.
Is been described as the Lithuanian LeVar Ball.
Well, this was a match made in heaven, right? Or this match was needed to consummate.
Yeah, I guess so.
Verbena juice.
Yeah, it was serendipity.
Virginia juice and sex. Virginia juice.
Sexus. The head coach of Prienų Vytautas. So they're all together, one big happy family in Lithuania. Hey. I saw one of the Barstool guys tweet out, it was genius. Like, imagine being these Ball kids and your father comes to you and says, I'm going to rip you out of sunny Southern California and drop you in Lithuania while you're in high school. One of them's in high school, huh? The other's in college.
Yeah, and they probably don't even know where it is.
Hey, why would you if you're them? Mm. So,
wow.
I don't know. I've thought about that from the standpoint of a senior who doesn't want to go to college and goes overseas to play because there are leagues there that are very competitive.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, why don't we see more of this? So Brandon Jennings do it, I believe, in Italy. Why don't more guys do that? You know, you get some life experience. You go over there, you get paid. You don't have to, if you don't want to go to college.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how I would handle it personally. I think that my... whatever the financial situation that I had at the time would sort of drive that, or if I didn't want to leave family and friends, or who would come with me. So I don't think it's a crazy idea, but the problem is you've got LiAngelo, who's leaving UCLA, where his brother, of course, had a ton of success and went to the NBA, and he's not really a NBA draft prospect, leaving UCLA after this embarrassing issue in China. I can't imagine this is what he wants. He's going there. And LaMelo is 15. So he's got years to go. He was going to get homeschooled.
Right.
I guess he still is going to get homeschooled in Lithuania.
Makes more sense for him than it does for LiAngelo.
But it's early, though, for this, I think. I mean, to not finish out high school and then to go. Like, I always thought it was a gap between high school and the NBA.
But he's not being homeschooled.
But not in
of. Where do you're in hanging out Virginia juice. In Lithuania, or you're hanging out in Southern California, you're still being homeschooled, right?
Yeah.
Now you get your foreign language credit.
What I want to know is, does this mean that America is losing LeVar Ball? Is he going to be in Lithuania most of the time?
I would think so. Or he leaves the wife there. But with her health issues, you would think he's going to be there with the boys. And this proves right here that we are globally connected, because this dude, as bombastic as he has been, now he obviously has some type of following in Lithuania where he has name recognition. And so they thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, Mikey B tweeted out some pictures of Regina Juice. I have not seen him yet, the coach of this Lithuanian team. So I'm going to take a look at him now as I go through Twitter. There he is. Wow, Regina Juice. Older cat. Big dude. Looks very angry. Those are the ways that I would describe him. You can go to at Gio and Jones.
Let's see what Regina Juice look like.
What? There's just the things you didn't expect to hear.
No, midget and Virginia juice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, these are the things. Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine.
He does look fiery.
Yeah, I can't imagine that LeVar is going to say goodbye to his fame here in America to be in Lithuania full time.
He may be even more famous over there.
Maybe.
News travels fast.
Lithuanian ball fans. He was at a pop-up store here in New York City. He had fans outside taking pictures of him and stuff.
There you go.
They were into it. So, I don't know. I haven't seen anything about what his plans are. They've now officially, and I know that people have said that this happened a long time ago, but they officially have become a joke to me now. Like, it was one thing when they were going to UCLA and LeVar was being bombastic and he had their bowler brand. Now that he's got two kids, one that he's ripped out of Chino Hills, which, of course, was a very successful situation for them at one point. And then UCLA to go to Lithuania? Like, now you're a joke. You know, I mean, it's not everybody else's issue. It's your issue. And you're going to pull this guy, homeschool him the rest of the way, and he's going to be playing for the...
Well, that was a joke, and the rationale was he didn't believe in the coach there at the high school, and he had run-ins with the coach a year ago during the playoffs, and he has run-ins with all these coaches. They're good until they lose. So UCLA, when they were on a nice run last year, the coach knew what he was doing. Once they lost to Kentucky in the tournament, they had no idea what they were doing. So he's all over the damn map, and he's been that way, and he's been successful, and it's worked for him up to this point. And let's see if this move is going to be a positive or a negative.
James is in Albany on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, James.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going today? All right?
Great. Very well, James. What's up?
Good. I want to give you a Latvian good morning. Kumpelis and Kurtleri.
Yeah, James. That a boy.
And I also wanted to comment, you know, for American standards, 15 is really young. But when you think about it, I mean, Frankie Ntilikina, Ricky Rubio, I mean, how old was Porzingis when he started playing professionally as well? So,
yeah, but those guys grew up there, right? I mean, it's a little different story when you're ripping a guy out of Southern California and everything he's known and drop him into Lithuania at 15
Great.
Years old.
I think it's wonderful for him.
LeVar doesn't speak Lithuanian.
Why do you think it's wonderful for him, Brian?
At that young age, I mean, go and enjoy another culture. I think that's going to be great.
You think he's going to appreciate that?
He should. Maybe it won't resonate now.
Leaving his family and friends?
Maybe it won't resonate now, but down the road, he'll be better off for it.
He's going to appreciate colors because they don't have any colors for any buildings or anything. Maybe snow. That's about it.
Yeah. Look how well-rounded Kobe became from his life over in Italy.
Okay.
I mean, you know. He can always come back home. I'm just saying.
He still went to high school in Philadelphia, though. You know?
Well,
I mean.
LaMelo, which one?
On the flip side, it doesn't work out, though, with people like Sebastian Telfair who head over and then they don't do too much when they come back.
Right. Yeah, I don't.
I think from a cultural standpoint, it is great.
I mean, I think that this fame and great call, James, and thanks for the Edzus Kalkulis shout out, our buddy in
Universal Shop, Gherkins and Partneries, and Humbly.
To me, the guidance here that how long is this going to last?
We'll see. We'll find out. Now, at the rate they've
been
going,
we're going to see.
At the rate that LeVar Ball has been going, may not last long, but we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so,
but nothing
they're
going to
come
with,
back. And then
I'm being homeschooled. Yes, I'm being ripped from my normal existence in Southern California. But I get to go see another part of the world. How can
nobody?
What's wrong with that?
At that age, they don't appreciate it. Or they're going to be in a homesick. And another part of the world is a disgusting place. It's not fun. They're not going.
How do you know? You haven't been to Lithuania.
I don't exactly.
You don't why know it's would disgusting?
I even think it's Lithuania.
Not like he's going to medieval times.
You're telling me that of all the places you could go, Lithuania is on your short list?
I'm not saying that, but to say it's disgusting when we've never viewed it, we've never been there.
I know enough about it to know that I don't want to go there.
You just know the basketball coach's name, Virginijus.
I know that it's cloudy, it's drab, it's
kind of like here.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different. Just a little bit. By the way, I mean, people come here from all over the world to try to make a life. You know, only the balls are going to Lithuania to make theirs. So, I mean, seriously. Like I said before, some people can cut it here, some people can't. It's the way it is. Some people got that thick blood, yeah. Some people got that thin blood.
It's 6 months out of the year, I can cut it. You're right. I haven't seen enough snow. I grew up with snow.
Oh,
I've had enough.
You grew up snow.
Have you been to West Texas in the winter?
I've heard about this. Oh, you get a little bit of snow.
No, you don't get a little bit.
You get a dusting.
You don't get no dusting. Yeah, okay.
Lubbock, Texas.
Check out the weather.
Oh, yeah. What was the most snow you've seen in Lubbock?
Oh, man, we have 6 feet at times. What?
6 feet of snow.
It's West Texas. Yes, it gets cold. Get a lot
Six
of snow.
Feet.
Yes. Yes.
So how tall are you, Mike?
5'8".
So Mike would be buried from head to toe in the snow in Lubbock?
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not out of my mind.
Six
I was there. I'm not
feet.
Being nostalgic.
You were there. So there was a snowstorm when you were growing up.
Yes.
It dumped 6 feet on you?
Yes.
I was willing to bet my life
Who
that that didn't happen.
You're dead.
Six,
I'll tell you, baby, happened.
The snowstorm. Of all time happened in Lubbock where they dumped 6 feet.
Check the almanac.
Yeah, well, I just did a quick Google search. Looks like 16.9 inches was the record.
That's the record? 1 foot of snow? No.
Foot and a half?
No way.
Six feet. They don't get 6 feet in Antarctica.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. Six.
Had it last weekend here.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the average snowfall? Yearly.
I don't know. Let's take the last 10 seconds and try to figure that out.
500 feet.
There you go.
Oh, all right, yeah. You proved me wrong. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.